Yes, good morning and welcome to Wellspring TV. Welcome to Wellspring Pentecostal Church in New Road in Welling in Kent. We trust you'll enjoy the program this morning as I share God's word with you. God's word is good news. Good news for the day in which we live. And today is Remembrance Sunday, and many people's thoughts will be with those that they have lost. And we've been praying for them and praying that the God of all comfort will bring comfort to everyone that's grieving this morning because of the loss of a loved one. I have in front of me a lovely congregation of people, and I hope that one day you will join us here in Welling in Kent. It's a nice part of the world. We have a lovely church and we have a lovely group of people. We have a very what I would call a family atmosphere in our church. We really care about each other. And you would be very welcome, and I hope that you will come to visit us as soon as you can. You can contact us by email, and the email is live@wellspringtv.org. That's live@wellspringtv.org. So please send us an email. If you have a prayer request, then we will happily pray for you at the end of the message this morning. And if for some reason we are inundated with emails and text messages, then we will pray for you after the service. So please don't feel that we've forgotten about you. You can also send us a text message, and please do so. Please send us a text. Please send us an email, and we'll gladly pray for you. Now today is Remembrance Sunday, Sunday the 9th of November, 2014. Let me also say that this message, a copy will be available on the church website for you to watch and listen to later on, God willing. We are recording it at this moment, and it will be there for you to see later on. You can tell friends about it. I was looking at figures about the folks who have lost their life in various wars, and the figures are tremendous. They are so huge. And they're conflicting. If those of you on the internet will know that you can go to the internet and you can go to a search engine called Google and you can get an answer to almost anything. But I was amazed at the conflict when you ask the internet, tell me how many people have been killed through war. How many soldiers have lost their lives? The figures differed so much. So with respect, I say this morning, it's estimated that at least 60 million people were killed in the two world wars. And some estimates put the figure as high as 72 million. And it's estimated that at least 22 million were wounded. And it's also estimated that at least 2 million went missing. Now there have been many wars since the two world wars with the loss of many lives. And many people have been injured. And many people have been reported missing. The human cost of war is really horrific. We certainly owe this morning a great debt of gratitude to everyone who has laid down their life in order for us to have a life in a free and democratic society. And all who have given their life, I believe, are worthy of our remembrance. And they're deserving of our honor and deserving of our thankfulness. In the words of the poem that Richard read a few moments ago, the poem by Robert Lawrence Binion, we say this morning, at the going down of the sun, at the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember those who have lost their lives. We will remember the sacrifice that they paid. And as I thought about Remembrance Sunday, I believe the Lord drew my attention as never before to a few scriptures where we're asked to remember. Now you might think that, well, Pastor Jim's been a minister 50 plus years, that's not a boast. But it's a long time. Oh, I'm sure he just gets out some old ones and blows the dust off and thinks, well, that went well last time, I'll use that again. Wrong. My darling wife Ruth has sometimes said to me, when she's conscious that time is going and it's so full and there's this to do and that to do, have you not got anything old you can use? And I think she knows the answer by now. And it'd be great if I could. I mean, I have hundreds of sermons on my computer. They're all there, listed. But you know, I can't use them. I might use some of the scriptures or the stories, but I can't use them. It has to be fresh. And so this message, to my knowledge, I have never ever preached on remembrance before in all these years. Or I've asked people to remember the Lord, but I've never used these points. So may God bless this message this morning, or if whatever time you are listening or watching, God bless you. But just a few things that God highlighted, drew my attention to, and said, share this with the people. Some things that we are to remember, and they're very important. Number one, we are always to remember what God has done for us. Now that was a good place to say amen, or praise the Lord. Because that's true. We are always to remember what God has done for us, because that will create thankfulness in our hearts. It will create praise. It will create worship. It will take the focus off surroundings and circumstances, and it will put our focus on God. Deuteronomy 8 in verse 2 is where I get this from. God says, you shall remember, that the Lord your God led you all these 40 years in the wilderness. God is speaking through Moses, his servant. He's speaking to the children of Israel. And God says, you will remember that the Lord your God has led you all these 40 years in the wilderness. Verse 10. When you have eaten and are full. In other words, in prosperous times. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given to you. Verse 11, here's the warning. God says, beware. Why should we remember? Here's the warning. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. Verse 12, here it is. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and you've built beautiful houses and you dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, that's speaking about prosperous times. Verse 14. When your heart is lifted up, in other words, when you become proud, God says, here's the problem. You might forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So we need to remember what God has done for us. We need to always be thankful. Our mouths ought to often be full of praise. Father, thank you. You look at the exes here this morning. My case, ex-suicidal, suffering from depression, problem with drink, problem with nicotine, smoking, doing all of that. Wanted to end my life. And then someone came and shared the good news with me of what Jesus could do. I believed the message and it changed my life. And in the church this morning, there's lots of exes. There's ex-drug addicts and ex-alcoholics and lots of exes. Thank God we met Jesus. And the Bible says if any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, if they have a relationship with Christ, if they're in Christ and Christ is in them, what are they? They're a new creation. All things have passed away and all things have become new. Has that happened to you? If not, it can do. So let's continue. I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm now in verse 15. God is saying to his people, remember, remember, remember how I've brought you out of bondage, he said to his people, children of Israel. Remember how I fed you. Remember how I led you. Remember the miracles. Remember how I sent you miracle food called manna. Remember how I even brought water out of the rock. That doesn't normally happen, does it? I've walked past lots of rocks and I've never seen water coming out just like that. But that's what God did. That's the mighty God we serve this morning. He can do anything. Nothing's too hard for him. Nothing's impossible with him. And he's the same. He says he doesn't change. So God's asking his people to remember. Remember what I've done for you. Remember how I led you, fed you, delivered you, brought you out. Lest you forget and you become proud in the good times and you forget me, you forget God. And God says, remember, he says, that I was the one who led you. Verse 16, I fed you. Verse 17, he said, be careful because in the prosperous times, then you say in your heart, here's the problem. You say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gained me this wealth. Wrong. You would have had nothing if God had not have heard your cries. That's what God was saying to the children of Israel. You remember? God came to Moses at the burning bush. And God said, I have seen their tears. I've heard their cries. And I've come down to deliver. And Moses could have said, whoopee, good. And God said, you're the one. Who, me? I can't even speak properly. God said, no problem. I'll send your brother. Clever God. So he sent Aaron. It's an amazing story. You find it in the book of Exodus. So God says, in the prosperous times, be careful, God says, that you don't look around and, you know, for you and me, you could look around and those of us, I don't, we live in a council flat, but some have houses and you have cars and you have perhaps everything. Can I just say briefly, lovingly, honestly from the heart, may God help you ever to be thankful, amen? Amen. To look at your house and look at the car and whatever you have and say, Father, thank you. Thank you. You gave me this house. You gave me this car. You gave me this job. When you go to your desk tomorrow, don't think, hey, hey, Father, thank you. Amen? Amen. Amen. I think we've got the message. Let us not forget what God has done for us ever. Amen. I'm mindful of what I was before I met Jesus. I was nothing. I had nothing. I was heading for the grave. Then I met Jesus and that changed everything. Hallelujah. Number two, and quickly, young people are to remember their Creator. I get this from Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1. The Bible says, remember now. Young people, remember now. Remember now your Creator. You say, Jim, I don't believe in God. And the Bible says the person who says there is no God, you know what they are? The Bible says they're a fool. You didn't just happen. You're not here as a result of evolution. You're here as a result of the mighty creative power of an almighty God who the Bible says in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. Amen. 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 Ruth and I were missionaries in Uganda and we used to drive along a certain road from a place called Tororo to Kampala, the capital city. And on the way there was an army checkpoint. And everyone had to stop. And when you stopped, the monkeys came from everywhere. And they jumped on your bonnet, and they played with your wiper blades, and you thought, Lord, no! Because those things would take them and eat them. And what they were after was bananas, and you may think, oh, poor things. The problem was, people would give them bananas. So of course, when they saw all the cars stopped, the monkeys were going, yay, more bananas. And if you didn't give bananas, they would take your wipers, they would take anything they could find. They would almost go at you. So you're asking, did I ever give them a banana? Yes. But I never looked at those monkeys and thought, hey, my brother. Never ever. I tell you something, and I'm being very serious now. I never saw a monkey with a rifle. I never saw a monkey with a knife stabbing someone. I never saw those things. Don't insult the monkey by saying that the evil in our world, the evil men and women who do such horrible things, that somehow they're descendants of the monkey. Don't insult the monkey. In the beginning, God, and God created. So the Bible says, young people, remember now. Remember now, because you have your destiny in your hands now. The Bible talks about the law of sowing and reaping. And the Bible says, we will reap what we sow. You say there's no God, so you sow to the flesh. You do your own thing. You have the attitude, it's my life, I'll do what I want with it. Wrong. The Bible says, you sow to the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. You sow to the flesh, you will reap death. You sow to the things of God, you sow to the Spirit, and from the Spirit you will reap life everlasting. Hallelujah. Amen. You have a choice. You say, Jim, I don't believe in God. But God is, whether you believe in Him or not. He is. Your unbelief does not move me in any way. Because I know God. I've known Him since I was 18. I've served Him since I was 23. He is real. He is alive. He is the same. And the Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You see, people who say, whether they're young or old, oh, I don't believe in God. This is what they're saying. Because I don't believe in God, He doesn't exist. And because He doesn't exist, I can do what I want, when I want, with who I want. Wrong. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. So you might say, Jim, I don't believe in God. Then I say respectfully, the Bible says you are a fool. You're a fool. I would ask you to open up your heart, open up your life while you still can, while there's still time, and let God in. It wouldn't be wrong to say, that preacher, that Irishman, Jim, says there's a God. Well, I don't know you. Is there? Show yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. Prove yourself to me. I've heard many testimonies where people have done that, and God has revealed Himself to them. Why don't you do that? And everyone said, amen. Amen. Remember now your Creator. The Bible says, because the evil days are coming. The days are coming when you'll have no pleasure in them. It's only by the grace of God that people like Arnold, with respect, our senior elder in the church, and I don't know who's the next oldest, I better not say her name. She's wearing a lovely greeny colored top. And I'm about the third oldest, I think. But the thing is, We use this term, by the grace of God. People say, how are you, Pastor Jim? Well, by the grace of God, I'm fine. It is only by the grace of God that I'm still preaching this morning, isn't it? It's only by the grace of God that Arnold is still here and Sister Sylvia is still here. It's only by the grace of God. And I tell you what, when you know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, doesn't matter what age you are, you still have life, His life flooding through your being, and you still have hope. And if one morning you don't wake up, you don't worry, because you're going to be in His presence. That's the hope we have. Hallelujah. But the person who doesn't know Jesus, who doesn't have faith in God, the heart attacks come, the blood pressure comes, the joint pain comes, other things come, they fall, they fracture, they get strokes, they get all sorts of things, and if they're not related to God, they have no hope. And it's horrible. And that's what the Bible is saying. Look, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Get a good foundation for your life now. And then when the difficult times come, when old age comes, when other things come, you'll be strong. You'll be strong through your relationship with God. And I'm sure God's people all said amen.
Amen.
Remember now your Creator. And I'll tell you something else. God says, those who honor me, I will honor. And that's where I live. I live in that place. I think, well, Father, God, I haven't always been perfect. But since I came to know Jesus as my Savior on the 10th of April, 1959, in the Naffy Club in Aldershot. Since that day, I have sought to live for God. Not been perfect, but when I recognize I've made a mistake, I've come to God and said, Father, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. The Bible says if we confess our sin, He's faithful. He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. And I believe that I'm here today by the grace of God because I've sought to honor Him. As a young man, I honored Him. And all through my life, I've honored Him, and I will continue to honor Him. And I believe if I honor Him, the Bible says He will honor me. And He'll honor you. I promise you, He'll honor you. He'll honor you. When others are struggling, God will be there for you. David the psalmist, he said, one of my favorite verses, David the psalmist said, I've been young, and now I'm old. And he said, I have never seen the children of God begging for bread. And I've never seen the children of God forsaken. Hallelujah. God won't allow that. Paul the apostle said, my God shall supply most of your need. No. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I'll only want occasionally. No, I shall not want. Psalm 84:11. No good thing will God withhold from those who walk right. Hallelujah. And there are others. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things that people worry about and fret about and lie awake at night worrying about. God says, seek first my kingdom. Seek first my kingdom. Seek first my will for your life. Seek first a right relationship with me. And God says, you honor me, I'll honor you. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Hallelujah. So get it. Put away the wrinkles. Put away the Grecian 2000. You don't need it. Just trust in God. Have faith in God. God will honor you. God will bless you. So there's this law of reaping and sowing and reaping. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. How about Galatians 5:22? The fruit of the Spirit is what? It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's long-suffering, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, it's self-control. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Notice, this is why we're to remember, in all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, that means have a reverence for Him. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Look at this. It will be health to your flesh. You want to be well, you want to be strong. God says in all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. The Lord, fear the Lord, depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Thank you. I think I heard an amen then. But I mean, that's where I live. Some people say, you can't expect to love at my age. I'm going to preach on that one Sunday. And they're only 50, 55, 60. I don't care what age they are. That, there's not one verse in my Bible that says, Jim, when you get to this age, you can't expect a lot at that age. Not a word. But the psalmist says, they shall still be fruitful in what? In old age. Amen. That's where I live. My hero is Caleb. Caleb in the Old Testament. Companion of Joshua. 85 years of age. And he's not saying, you can't expect a lot at my age. He said, God gave me a promise 40 plus years ago. And that promise hasn't been fulfilled yet. And he said, the God that I serve keeps His word. And when God gives you a promise, God will fulfill that promise. So he said, right, I am as strong today as I was 45 years ago. There's people up that mountain, and that mountain is mine. And I'm going up there, and I'm going to get rid of those people. You think, where's that in the Bible? Read the book of Joshua. Not a bit about, you can't expect that lot at my age. Oh, may God give us all the spirit of Caleb. You say, but I'm a woman. All right, how about the spirit of Anna in the New Testament? What was she, 80-something? 80-plus, 84? Been a widow for years? What's she doing? Sitting at home, you can't expect a lot at my age. No, she wasn't. She was in the temple, the Bible says, night and day, fasting and praying. How about old Simeon? Simeon at home in his rocking chair. You can't expect a lot at my age. No. He was in the temple. Why? Because he had heard that Jesus was born. And God had said to him, Simeon? Was Simeon, wasn't it? Simeon, he said, you will not see death before you've seen Jesus, the Son of God. And he heard there was a new baby. And he heard Jesus had been born. And he's there at the temple. Where is he? Where is he? And he gets to hold him. Ah. That's where I live. That's what's in, if you could see inside of me. If you could, you know, unzip me and look inside. That's what you'd see. The Caleb spirit. The Anna spirit. The Moses spirit. Moses, people say, well, you get to 70. The Bible says 70 years and is the span. And then if you get to 80, it's all going to be toil and trouble. Listen, the man who wrote that was Moses. I have a question for Moses. You know, people say when we get to heaven, oh, I'm going to ask the Lord this, and I'm going to ask the Lord that. I don't think we will. I think we'll be so, can I use the term gobsmacked? I don't know how that translates in many languages. But it means really surprised. Really overcome. When we see God. When we see Jesus. When we see the angels. When we see the heavenly creatures. I reckon we'll be walking around like this. Don't you? I don't think we'll be saying, oh, excuse me. Oh, Jesus, can I ask you something? I somehow don't think that's going to happen. But if it is possible, I want to see, can I see Mr. Moses just for a moment? Mr. Moses, hello Mr. Moses, I'm Jim Patterson. Can I ask you something? Yes, of course, Jim. Moses, did you say or did you not say that 70 years is the lifespan and if someone should make it to 80, it's going to be all toil and trouble? He'll probably say, yes, actually, I did. I did write that. Then I will say to him, Mr. Moses, with respect, how come you missed your die-by date by 50 years? Because the Bible says you didn't die till you're 120. That's what the Bible says. So why don't people quote that? Instead of saying, well, you know, you can't expect it at your age. I mean, in my case, I'm only 74. If you put it in the mirror, it's 47. I like that. But you know, people have that mentality. No, I haven't forgotten that my message is all about remembering, and it's not about old age. But that's where we happen to be at the moment, about how that if we honor God, the point I'm making is the Bible says, remember now your Creator while you're young. Lay a good foundation for your life now, so that as the years roll on and as old age comes, you'll be prepared and you'll be strong. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Be strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. And there's something else that we are asked to remember, and I only have one more. Number three. God has commanded us that we should remember the Sabbath day. Now I know I've got your attention now. And immediately you're thinking, well, if you're a Seventh-day Adventist, you keep the Sabbath. If you're a Jew, you keep the Sabbath. Well, I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not a Sixth-day Adventist nor a Fifth-day Adventist. I'm a Christian. And according to my Bible, the Christians kept Sunday as their day of rest. And everyone said,
amen.
Why did they do that? Because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. Hallelujah. So for the Christian, for the born again, for the one who loves the Word of God, Sunday, S-U-N-D-A-Y, not S-T-U-R-D-A-Y, not any other day, but S-U-N-D-A-Y, is the official New Testament day of rest for the Christian. Good place to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The day that Jesus rose from the dead. But listen to this, what God says about the Sabbath, about a day of rest, all right? You do know that it's the fourth commandment. And there's nothing that I read in Scripture that says, oh, you don't worry about all those. Forget them. Nah, you don't worry about all that. I believe the commandments are still there. Anyhow, the fourth commandment says, Exodus 20 verse 8, remember the Sabbath day. Remember this day of rest. Keep it holy. 6 days you'll labor and do all your work. But the seventh day, what is it? It's the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you'll not do any work. You nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who's within your gates. In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. What does that mean? He set it apart. And here's a verse too while I'm on this subject. Isaiah 58 verse 13, God says, he's talking to his people. And he says, come back to me. Come back, get in a right relationship with me, he says. And then he says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, he says, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and if you call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and if you will honor him, notice, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor even speaking your own words. God, I believe, still wants one day a week to be special. And you are doing what God wants you to do this morning. Immediately you're thinking, ah, but Jim, what about those who have to work? Yes, of course. Some have to work. I've been in hospital as a patient like some of you. Nurses and doctors and others are necessary. Right now, someone is working to keep the electric flowing. Someone's working to keep the water flowing. I understand that. Someone is driving a bus to get people to church, etc., etc. But God still says, look, one day in seven is special. And for the Christian, It's the Sunday. That's our Sabbath. That's our special day. And therefore, let me wrap this one up quickly. We should refrain from working if it's not necessary. If the only job we can get is a job that involves working on a Sunday, then what are you to do? You have rent to pay, bills to pay. If that's the only job that God's opened up, you have to go with the flow. But I believe we should pray. And if I was looking for a job, I know I'm working on a Sunday, but this is different. If I was looking for a job, I'd be saying, Father, if at all possible, please find me a job where I don't have to work on a Sunday. Because, Father, I want to get to your house with your people. I want to hear your word. Amen?
Amen.
But if it's not possible to have a job that leaves us free on a Sunday, then we must honor God still while we're working. We can somehow have a time when we honor him. And you know what I've been thinking recently? There must be a lot of people that can't come on a Sunday morning because they're working. And I was thinking the other day, why don't I have a service during the week and we'll call it Sunday on Tuesday or Sunday on Wednesday? You know what I mean? Or in the middle of the night. I know I'm crazy sometimes in that sense. It may appear crazy. I'm not crazy, but some might think I am. A service at midnight. A service in the middle of the night. Many people may not take it up, but it's just an idea. Because there are many people who just cannot get out of working on Sundays. And I, in my heart says, let's have a service. And whatever day of the week it is, it'll be the Sunday service. You understand what I'm saying? If you think it's a great idea, you can come and see me. Say, well, you can count on me. I'll be there. I know Neil will step up to the mark. So when God created the world, the Bible says he finished his work in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. And it was God's idea that one day in seven should be a day of rest. So he made it a commandment. He did not make a suggestion. He did not make a recommendation. He gave a commandment. I believe with all my heart that Sunday trading laws are against the law of God and should never have been passed. But the world and the liberal nominal Christian, so-called, they got their way. But I do not believe God has ever blessed or will ever bless that law of everything's open on a Sunday. Let's have football, let's have cricket, let's have it all on a Sunday. I don't believe it's right. You know something, the people who have to work on a Sunday, and the emphasis on have to work, are deprived of fellowship, they're deprived of the worship of God, and they're deprived of the Word of God. Would you agree? Lastly, not only are we asked to remember what God has done for us, we should ever do that. Our hands should ever be heavenward. Every opportunity we get, Father, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for changing my life. Thank you for your provision. The older people today, God brought you through the wars. God provided for you. You know, if you and I had time, you could tell me about rationing, the days of the war. You could tell me about the blackouts. You could tell me about the doodle bugs coming over. You could tell me, and I've heard stories of how the bombs dropped in the house next door, missed your house. That had to be God, don't you think, that protected you? We should ever be thankful. We should ever be thankful. Remember. Remember what God has done for you. Secondly, I spoke about remember your Creator while you're still young. So important. Get right with God now as a young person. Lay a foundation. You've seen people building houses, haven't you? And they dig down deep and get a good foundation. The better the foundation, the better the house. Get a good foundation for your life. And thirdly, remember the Sabbath day. You're doing what's right today. You're in God's house on his day. I'm so glad that you're here. But if ever you have a job, you have to have a job where you have to work. Still honor God. Whatever you're doing, Still honor God. Still somehow find time in your break time. Find time to thank Him and to praise Him. And maybe get to an evening service. Or get to a service during the week where you compensate for the loss of the service on the Sunday. And finally, Jesus asked us to remember Him. And we did this morning. 1 Corinthians 11:23. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke the bread and said to His disciples, take and eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Then in the same manner, verse 25, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. All of you, drink of it in remembrance of Me. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, Jesus, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes, with His flogging, with His stripes, we were healed. I have many favorite hymns, as I'm sure you do. One is called, Lead Me to Calvary. They're beautiful words. King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget Thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget Thine agony. Lest I forget Thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. The hymn, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain, I count but loss and poor contempt on all my pride. Where the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, because love, the love of Jesus at Calvary, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Remember, on this Remembrance Sunday, yes, remember those who died, and remember their loved ones and pray for them, that the God of all comfort will comfort them. Remember what God has done for us. Don't ever forget what He's done. Thank Him often. Young people, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember Him. Honor Him. You reap what you sow. Thirdly, remember the Sabbath day, whenever possible. Keep it holy. Keep it holy. When I was growing up in Ireland on the farm, a small farm, you know, I wasn't allowed even to clean my shoes on a Sunday. Had to be done Saturday night. Wasn't allowed to have a bath, and don't get any ideas about a posh shower, you know, where you turn it on and you go, oh, so nice. No, a tin bath. That had to be done on Saturday. The suit for church on Sunday had to be got out ready. That's how I was brought up. My mum wasn't a Christian, but gosh, she knew the rules. My dad, he went to church. He came with me to Sunday school and waited for me. Then I'd join him in church afterwards. That's how I grew up. The radio, the only thing you were allowed to listen to on the radio, and some of you are young enough to remember the old, what do they call it, not alternator, accumulator, wasn't it? Like a glass bottle full of acid. And it had a special, you're looking at me, what is he on about now? Look it up on the internet. I mean, those were the days. You had this thing, this glass, like a glass, you'd remember. And I used to have to take it to the bicycle shop and get it charged, and that kept it going for ages and ages, and then you connected your radio to it. But the only, I know it's going back a bit, even Richard's thinking, what? But you know, the only thing you could listen to on radio was Sunday half hour. So I grew up as a young boy with Sunday half hour. You dare not listen to anything else. So it was instilled into me as a child. Although my mother wasn't a Christian, it was instilled into me that Sunday was special. You didn't bath, you didn't, and that didn't mean I went to Sunday school stinking, you understand. But it had to be done Saturday. Shoes had to be polished Saturday and left out ready. And I've never forgotten it. Well, in the sense, do I never clean my shoes on a Sunday morning? I have to confess I do. But in my heart, Sunday special to me. Sunday special. Getting to God's house. Yes. Everything within me says yes. I love the day. I love what we do. I love it. And then, if you ever invite me to lunch, a good traditional Sunday roast. You cannot beat it. You might think, eh. For me, you can't beat it. I grew up with it. No Chinese, no Indians, no curries, none of that. A good traditional roast dinner. So you say, I'm not inviting him then. No. I'll eat Porsche, I'll eat beans, I'll eat whatever there is. Couscous, I'll eat whatever's going. My wife says, you've got a cast iron stomach. I see food and I eat it. Let me wrap this up this morning. If you've been able to hear the broadcast and to watch, then thank you so much. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask that God will help us to, from our hearts, to remember Him in these areas. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord, I pray that this will be the moment. You know, if I came to your door and you opened the door and said, ah, Jim, what would you do really? Would you not say, oh, come in? The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door of our life if we don't know Him. He stands at the door of our life and He says, look. And He says, if any man hear my voice, oh, I know He spoke it to the Christian, but it also applies, I believe, to the non-Christian. God wants in. God created you in the beginning, God. And maybe all these years you've shut Him out. Hey, stop shutting Him out. Let Him in. He transformed your life. You can say goodbye to the drugs for depression. You can say goodbye to the alcohol. You can say goodbye to the drugs, whether by arm, by mouth. You can say goodbye. And when I say drugs, I mean the drugs that are, I'm not thinking about tablets now. Illegal. Yeah, that's right. So the clarification. The drugs that people put in to keep themselves going. Friend, when you come to know Jesus, you get new life from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. You'll find you don't need that. Those who were alcoholics, they came to be to know Jesus, and they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and they had no room or need for any other spirit. And that is the truth. Amen. You know it is, don't you? Amen? So let's pray together. Father God, our heart's desire is that if there's even one person watching, listening, maybe even one person here in the church, young or old, who as yet has never received Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord, we pray that this will be the day, that right now will be the moment. May they stop shutting you out. May they stop this nonsense of I don't believe in God. May they stop being a fool. May they wisen up. And may they believe the good news in Jesus' name. May they recognize that they're a sinner. They're lost. May they recognize that if they died tonight and they don't know Jesus, they will face the judgment of God and they will eventually spend eternity in hell. Please, Lord, will you open their eyes? Will you take the scales away from their eyes? May men and women, young and old, receive you as Savior and Lord. And Father, all of us, please, will you help us? Help us to always remember what you've done for us. Help us to remember if we're young. Help us to remember you now while we're young, in the days of our youth. And Father, help us to remember your day, which for the Christian we believe is Sunday. Help us to keep it special to the best of our ability. And fourthly and finally, Father, please, will you ever help us to remember the great sacrifice that Jesus, your Son, made on our behalf? Jesus, you asked us to remember you. May every day of our lives, may we remember you and may we be thankful. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.